glimpse of God doing what he's doing is not always easy, especially when we try to do it on our own. So how do you think Mary and Joseph could possibly have understood what God was doing through them with the child that had been entrusted to them as they took him to the temple? They meet a man named Simeon. And as I was looking at this this week in the Greek text, the Hebrew name Simeon, which you know is one of the twelve tribes of Jacob, one of the sons of Jacob, the name Simeon comes up in Hebrew, and if you read it in the Greek translation of the New Testament or the Greek original of the New Testament, in Greek the name Simeon is Sumeon. Sumeon. And Simeon says there's this sign that is opposed, a sign that will be spoken against. Here is the sign that will be spoken against. He's pointing to Jesus. He's holding Jesus in his arms saying, here is the sign who will be spoken against. And the interesting thing about it is in Greek, the word for sign is semeion. Semeion. So here's Simeon saying, here's the semeion. Here's the sign. The sign is saying, here's the sign. Isn't that cool? What's in a name? A sign that will be opposed. Well, the sign that will be opposed is this baby Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, which means salvation, God's salvation, my salvation, Yeshua T, my salvation. What's in a name? In Jesus' case, salvation. Well, for Simeon, the sign guy, he says, this will be a sign that will be spoken against, a sign that will be opposed. And you start thinking, here's this little baby in Simeon's arms. How does he know that? What is that? You know? How is that going to be? How can a child be this sign? And then he says this other enigmatic thing to Mary. He says, a sword is going to pierce your soul. What does that mean? How can a sword, a physical thing, pierce your soul? So Simeon is pointing to the sign that's going to go to the cross. That's what pierces Mary's soul. How would you like to have this baby, your firstborn son, go to the cross? Well, she doesn't know that yet. Time would tell. But God's actions here are different. They're incarnate. They're in the flesh. God comes into the flesh to feel the cold, to feel all the things that you feel, so that you know he knows what you're going through. So that when he saves you, when he brings you that salvation, you know what you're being saved from. You know, he knows that. And you know. You know what God knows in that case. So too, when God interacts with us through His Holy Spirit, His words and His actions become incarnate too, even though we don't recognize it sometimes. Sometimes it's difficult to see something even when it's right in front of your face. Have you ever looked at any of those 3D pictures? You know, the ones that are just like green dots and red dots, and you kind of have to try to see through, what's the picture here? And then you stare at it, and you stare at it, and your eyes go kind of cross-eyed. And then finally, all of a sudden the picture kind of emerges, and you can see into the picture, and it's like part of the picture is coming towards you. And for me, it takes like 10 minutes of just staring at the thing. It's like, gosh, I feel stupid, but why can't I see this? But then all of a sudden it becomes clear. And then you have to, you kind of have to hold your concentration there, or it just kind of fades back to dots. Well, sometimes it's hard to see what God's doing in our lives, even if it's right in front of us. There's nothing wrong with the sign, just like there's nothing wrong with the picture. It's just my eyes and my brain. Why isn't it working? Why can't I see what God's doing? Well, the sign that we need for us in our lives is this baby Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. God in the flesh, coming to experience what we've experienced, even though He knows it already, so that we know that He knows it. Well, being able to see what God's doing and knowing how He fulfills His promises isn't always easy, because His ways are not our ways. But God gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us His Holy Spirit so that we can see how He works. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. Simeon recognizes this. I mean, this is the coolest thing. Simeon, whose name means, in Greek, his name means sign, or is close to it. His name means sign. And he goes to the temple that day, and he's been given this special message by the Holy Spirit that the salvation of Israel, salvation of for him and his country and his people, and really the whole world, he's going to get to see it. Have you ever been in watch one of those shows, or maybe you just, it's kind of like a parlor game. It's like over coffee, you could talk to somebody and said, if you could go back in history and see one thing, what would it be? Many Christians say, I'd like to go back and see Jesus in the flesh. This is what was given to Simeon. Now, he was looking forward to it. We would be like going back, right? And that's what we think. We would be going back to it. Well, good news. He's here today. You're going to see him and taste him in the flesh here today. And just like Simeon, you're looking forward to seeing the salvation of Israel, the light of the Gentiles, you and me, salvation of the world in the flesh. He's coming again. We don't know when that'll be. Anybody who says they know when that will be is wrong, but he's coming again sooner than you might expect. This was given to Simeon. Listen to this. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said the words of the Nunc Dimittis, which we're going to sing later today. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen the salvation that you have prepared for your people. I guess we are going to say it. He came in the Spirit, Luke says. How many times does he say that in our text today? He came in the Spirit. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Simeon was connected by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. Ask Pastor Wisher. I don't know if we can describe it fully. But it means something like this. Luke says, Simeon was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, you should ask yourself when you read that or when you hear that, where am I? Am I in the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit in me? Are you righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel? Are you waiting for your Lord? If so, you probably are in the Spirit. Are you righteous and devout? Now here's the tricky part. And here's the key point of the message, I think. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on what that little baby has done for you, that Jesus. Righteous and devout, it's not because Simeon was righteous and devout that the Holy Spirit was in him. No, it's just the opposite. The Holy Spirit was in him, and that made him righteous and devout. That's how you're clothed in the righteousness of God. In the power of your baptism, what do we say as what, Christians? The Holy Spirit comes in baptism, fills you in baptism. You, whether you're a little baby or baptized later in life, the Holy Spirit comes, sanctifies you, makes you righteous, clothes you with forgiveness, peace, and purity. You say, and then you say, okay, Pastor, well, you know, it's like New Year's. And you know that New Year's baby they always show on TV, you know? Okay. It's like brand new, beautiful. That's the way to begin the year. That's the way I am when I'm baptized. But then we get to the end of the year, we look back. All those resolutions we made last year, I'm planning on 6 resolutions this year, okay? 6. I figure I'll keep... Well, maybe 1 by the end of the year if I'm... Okay? But that's because I'm trying to do it on my own, okay? If I depend on my own efforts, am I going to be righteous and devout because I'm so good? No. I can only be righteous and devout by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why God gives us baptism. So we say, I know that I have a sign that I am redeemed by God. I have my own little Simeon. I've been baptized by God. So when I fail at my resolutions, and some of my resolutions are private, you know, about my temptations and the things that I struggle with, and maybe yours are too. Some of them. And I always have a health one, and I always have a financial one and all that stuff. And those are the ones that are the easiest to drop when you get tired or I don't feel like it, when you're relying on yourself. But I challenge you, if you have a spiritual resolution this year, I challenge you to have one. And secondly, I challenge you to look to the Holy Spirit. And for Christ's sake, to say, Lord, help me with it. Okay? He will. He will. And He'll forgive you when you fail too. It's like you can get up again the next day and say, it's a new year, it's a new day. In the power of my baptism, I have been renewed and made new by the blood of Christ. I'm forgiven, I'm made righteous, I'm pure. In the sight of God, I'm pure. And that's whose sight counts. You can live in that. But don't depend on yourself to do it. I like to use the example of how the Holy Spirit works. When you put your gloves on today to go out there into the cold, okay, and you grab that steering wheel to drive home today, what's grabbing the steering wheel? Is it the glove? Well, yeah, the glove's touching it, and the glove's involved. But the strength that goes there to turn the steering wheel, to grab the stick shift or the whatever transmission, the power in that, the power in the glove is the hand. The incarnate, the flesh and blood of your hand is what's making it happen, not the glove. That's the way the Holy Spirit works in your life. He fills you with His power so that you become righteous and devout, so that you can see the signs that are in front of you, that the Lord puts there for you, first of all, to know that you are forgiven. One of those signs you're going to taste today, so that you know that you are forgiven. Incarnate. Okay? And He gives you the power to encourage others. Holy Spirit is called the encourager, the comforter. Waiting for the consolation of Israel? You're part of the consolation of Israel as you share good news to encourage others, to share the gospel with someone else. So I challenge you to make at least one resolution. What can you do to encourage someone else in the faith? Not a big thing, but I bet you could find someone that the Lord puts in front of you today and every day. St. Paul writes to the Romans, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." It's the hand in the glove, the power of salvation in all who believe. To the Corinthians, Paul writes, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, while to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The gospel is the power of God. The word of the cross, the word of that baby who was a sign, who was going to be opposed. When he went to the cross, Mary's heart was pierced by the sword. That's your salvation. That's what gives you power. And it's going to give you power to be resurrected from the dead. What more power can there be? What more hand in the glove can there be than the Holy Spirit bringing life back into a dead body? That's your promise. So now, when you're not quite dead, how can He live in you today? Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So, as you go about searching for signs and looking for God to give explicit instructions, and you kind of sometimes wish He would give you written instructions, okay, this is what I want you to do, Jeff, for next year. Well, look instead for what the baby is giving you, what that Jesus Christ is giving you, who He puts in front of you in your life to encourage and share the gospel with. Rest in Him. Know that you do have the Holy Spirit working in your life. See the sign that you need more than anything else, which is that Jesus Christ, our God with us. In His name, amen.